We are in the kingdom of God. And we talk a lot about the nature of the kingdom. We talk about the population, who is in the kingdom. We talk about worth of the kingdom. And we also talk about the desire, your desire for the kingdom. For all the disciples, remember, when Jesus taught these things, disciples were there, front row, as the front row. They obviously believe they are part of the kingdom. But more than just a citizen of the kingdom, they feel that they're the personal entourage of the king. They will occupy important positions in Jesus' administrations. And this is the background of the disciples' question in Matthew 18, verse 1. I mean, this is not the only time when disciples were discussing or asking who will be the greatest. There were other time when disciples were arguing who's going to be sitting at the right and the left hand of God, left hand of Jesus. And so you can see this is the disciples' heart. They're more concerned, not just getting into the kingdom, but getting into the kingdom and occupy a prominent place. So, you know, so they can show off, I guess. So let's read it from verse, chapter 18, verse 1 to verse 9. No, I'm sorry, to verse 14. No, I'm sorry. Just to the 9. 9 will be good enough. Verse 1 to verse 9. At that time, the disciple came to Jesus, asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" I don't think this is an open question. I think they all think maybe Jesus will name their names. So who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, "I tell you the truth. Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone calls one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea." That's pretty serious. "Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to sin. Such things must come, but woe to the man through whom they come. If your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eyes cause you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell." Pretty serious stuff. I guess I don't see a whole lot of men people or single-eyed person here, so I assume that most of you don't take this very seriously. Don't take this serious. But let's take a look at this. The requirement for enter into the kingdom of God. Not even talking about having kind of accolades of the greatest, you have to become like a child. Just getting into it, you have to become like a child. You know, I don't know what is it about people always like ranking. Always like ranking, you know. I'm the number one in my class in high school, right? You have valedictorian. Number one in my class. Everybody claps. And until their competition is so high, this is in the Richmond Governor School. They no longer give ranking anymore. They don't give ranking anymore because the competition, friends become enemies over 0.002 GPA. So they don't do that anymore. But there is always this thing about who's the greatest and who's the least. And, you know, they translate this kind of thinking, at least the disciple here, translate this kind of thinking into heaven. This is not unusual, because I have met, as a pastor, I have met people who says, oh, you know, I really don't I don't have that competitive spirit. So I just want to squeeze into heaven. You know, I could be the last one in heaven, but that's okay. I'm in. And you can make me a sweeper of street in heaven. I'll be happy. There's not such a competitive spirit. But then in his or her mind, he's already thinking there are people who are going to be great and there are people who are going to be least. And then, you know, he's not going to work so hard to get to the greatest positions. He'd be happy just to squeeze in. And these are probably the tag-along Christians, you know, people who says, well, you know, Christianity is really not that important. Having a relationship with God is not that important as long as I get into it, into heaven. So people are thinking they are a first-class citizen in heaven, and there's an economy class scrubs in heaven. That's what a lot of people think. I'm not ambitious, so I just want to get in. So I don't really have to watch my life, watch my obedience. I don't have to watch, you know, whether I love the Lord with all my heart. As long as I receive Jesus, I raise my hand. I'm okay. So you see, this ranking, greatest, the least, has a lot of implications in our spiritual life. Has a lot of implication in our spiritual life. So Jesus wants to correct that. First of all, you have to change. See, he says what? The disciple asked the question, right? Hoping that their name, Jesus will name them. But then Jesus said, I tell you the truth, unless you change. In other words, to have a mindset change, attitude change about what you think is the truth, and then apply it to heaven. What you think is true, then change that, and that is what heaven is like. What is that? That change? That change is to become a child. I don't know about you guys. You guys all came from a modern American family. Children are the master of the house. You basically arrange your whole schedule around your children. I mean, you guys are all children. You don't have your own children, but you were children in your house. And your parents chauffeur, take you here and there because you can't drive, right? You have a lot of activity. Tutorings, so you can get a better grade, better resume to go to college or whatever. And then you have birthday parties arranged around you, inviting people to come. and you go vacation. When did you go vacation? Around your schedule, children's schedule, right? Summer, winter. So you probably have no idea what it's to be like in the biblical time to be a child. Basically, they are invisible. Basically, they're invisible. They are, you know, the women are pretty low in the culture class in biblical time. Children even lower than that. They're invisible in the sense that people don't pay attention to them. Only when they're old enough, they can help the father to do business, you know. They are free help, free labor. So nobody wants to be like a child in the biblical time. Nobody wants to be a child. But that's not true here today. I heard a lot of parents say, oh, I wish I can become a child again. Don't have to worry, you know. Don't have to earn a living. Let my parents take care of that. So it's different. But you just have to know, nobody in the biblical time wants to be a child. Low on the status. But Jesus says, you had to turn to like a child in order to get into heaven. So what is this about children that Jesus values so much? This is not to say that, you know, heaven is full of children and there's no adult there. I think this is a figure of speech. He wants to us to have a childlike qualities. So what are the childlike qualities? You know, I didn't when my own children were growing up, I didn't pay that much attention to them. But now I'm a grandfather. I observe much more what a childlike is. And I can tell you between probably 2 and 4. I think in here, when Jesus took a child to come over, so it's probably maybe first or second grade, 6 or 7 years old. 6 or 7 years old. But my experience is with my grandchildren. And the first thing is that children have no ego. What does that mean? That means that they are not very self-aware. They are not easily, they don't get embarrassed. They don't boast either. In some way, they're completely unaware of themselves. I noticed this. Sometimes I play with Ethan. He's 2 years old. And I draw a little mustache on his face. You know? And he just walks around. He doesn't think it's embarrassing. He, you know, his mother says, "Daddy, why do you do that?" But he doesn't mind. He doesn't care. He walks around with that mustache on all day. You know? He is completely unaware of himself. I thought that was cute. That is what child is like. Is that there is no ego, there is no awareness who he is, they don't get embarrassed, they are just completely true to themselves. Completely true to themselves. They don't pretend to be somebody else. They don't want to be like somebody else. They don't know how to look up to people. They just who they are. And this is what Jesus said. This is what is needed to get into heaven. You are who you are. You're completely aware who you are. Not so great. Not so great. You're completely true to yourself. So that's the first observation I find about childlike. The second, Jesus already identified it. He says, therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So he's identified as humility is a quality. So if you start saying that, I think I'm pretty humble, you just lost it. So humility is elusive. But children seldom claim that they know everything. Maybe this is their reality rather than humility. But, you know, when I go to school and to participate in these my grandchildren's award ceremony, by the end of the semester, they have all had this award ceremony. The first, second grade kids go up there very sheepishly, you know, and they, the principal order says, this is what they've done. And they seem embarrassed. But when you get to about fifth or sixth grade, it's different. They strut up like a peacock, you know, go up there and bow to everyone. They are the best in their class. But the first, second grade, they're not so sure, you know, me? You know, Philippians 2, verse 5 to 8 describe Jesus' humility. He says, your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to fight over, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. This is why kingdom people are humble people. They take on the characteristic and attitude of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's childlike. Childlike. It's hard to find humilities among adults because we have too many accomplishments, too many failures. We have been rewarded and we have also been crushed. So it kind of already, you know, built in our life experience. So it's kind of hard to be humble. But children hasn't gone through all this spectrum experiences. So easier to see. You're humble. And then I think a third I find about children is the innocence and trust. Innocence. Innocence is the opposite of cynicism. Even now with Elijah, my other grandson, who's 8 years old this year, I can tell him anything and he will believe it. Of course, this excludes lies, fantastic and magic stories that he knows is not true. But other than that, you tell him to trust Jesus, that Jesus always look out for him, he will believe it. When he gets into trouble, he pray. There is no if and but. If you tell him, God said it, Elisha believe it. This is more than I can say about myself, you know, my trust in the Lord. So anyone who goes to heaven must have this childlike trust in the Lord. Innocence goes a long way to make us childlike. So that's the three things, right? If you think about it, and ask the Lord to put these quality in your life, then you are already on your way to heaven. Lack of ego, humilities, innocence and trust. And then it seems like Jesus switched subject. Talk about sin. Talk about sin and the impact of sin and the sin's impact on our spiritual life. You know, Jesus talked about our personal life and talk about the sin's impact and how do we deal with it, even to the point of mutilating your body. Like I said, not too many of you take this very seriously. And that's a good thing. Because if you take it seriously, we have a lot of blind people and people with no arms and legs. It's a figure of speech. At that time, it's kind of common as a figure of speech. But it does convey to you the seriousness of what he's saying. What he's saying. You know, I think we confess our sin. We all know that we're sinners. And we all know he's faithful to forgive all of our sins. But this does not give you a license to sin. You know, often we look at sin as part of our human DNA, sinful DNA, right? We kind of accept it as inevitable. But this is not how Jesus is looking at it. Jesus sees it as a rotten flesh that needed amputations. Sin is like a gangrene. Sometimes it requires you to cut it off in order to save the body. So this is how seriously sin can affect your relationship with God. You know, Jesus said in the Beatitude, we covered that before, blessed are those who mourn. Mourn for what? Mourn for their sin. Weeping for their sin. And they shall be comforted. They shall be comforted. And I share with you that often I confess. I have confession, but I don't weep over my sin. That's probably because I do not see the serious nature of my sin. How it grieves God to have his son rejected. So sin is gangrene to our spiritual life. It infects and destroys a healthy body, a relationship with Jesus. So we need radical remedy to treat it. So that's talking about, that's the private sin, right? Cutting off limbs, gouging out your eyes. Those are private sin. It's talking about private sin. But then there is a dimension that Jesus mentioned. If you cause someone else to sin, especially a child, that no longer become a private sin. It's a public sin. People know it. And because people know it, they stumble over your sin. And Jesus said, if you cause a child to stumble like that, it's better for you. I mean, it's like you hang a millstone around your neck and be thrown in the sea, never able to float again. There's no chance of survival. You know, you think public sin. What kind of public sin that has that kind of devastating effect? Well, you don't have to go announce to the church to become a public sin. Even in your family, we see how adultery can affect children in a family. That's public sin. We see businessmen when we were missionary in Budapest. Businessman, Christian businessman, cheated on his supplier or his wholesalers or government for not reporting taxes. And these are Christians who proclaim themselves to be Christians. And then there are people around him who sees him as Christian and does the same thing they do. Public sin. A child has many different spiritual interpretations. A child could be physically a young child, a physical youngster, a youth in the family, like what I was saying, the adulteries affect children. But then a child can also interpret it as someone who's new in faith, a child in the Lord, just becoming Christians. And when he sees these, it affects them. It affects them. And Jesus takes it very seriously that if you have caused someone who just come to know Christ stumble, you have to answer to God. You have to answer to God how you caused them to stumble. So we are very careful about our lives. Private lives, yes, take sin very seriously. But also thinking about your sin could become public, affecting your own children in your family or affecting newly believe Christians in your church or in your community. So you have to treat it very seriously. But I want to share the story about innocent, to become like a child, to get into heaven, and to be humble, to be like, to be the greatest, you have to be the least in the kingdom. I want to share a story about tree. This is not plant, tree. Okay, his name is tree. It's T-R-E, not T-R-E-E. T-R-E. He is a Vietnamese Chinese, but was born in America. So he has mental illness. He had mental illness. But in him, I see a childlikeness character. He came to me, came to our church, while he's already in his mid-30s. I can still remember the first time I met him in my office. He came in by the recommendation of an old Baptist minister in Richmond. Pastor Harbach had led Tree to Christ, but feel that he's with his conditions, it's hard for him to be accepted in the white congregations. So he recommended Tree to come to the Chinese church. Our first conversation can only describe as gibberish. I can hardly understand what he was saying. It's almost like a 2-year-old learning how to talk, you know, as he slurred and his subject, you don't really know what is the subject he's talking about. That's due to his mental illness and the medicine that he was taking. And from the little I can comprehend, the first conversation was about his background and why he was here, why he was in the church. From that time on, he became a regular member of our church. I won't say that he's popular. Most of the people realize that there is something not quite normal about him. So they sort of kind of keep a safe distance. That didn't affect Tree. He still go up and say hi. You know, like child. The child doesn't care whether you like him or not. He just go up there and say hi, you know. So he goes up and say hi to everybody. And he would continually want to talk to people if the people will give them their time. He wants to engage in conversations. He wants to engage in conversations. He sits in the first row, closest to the pulpit. He loves worship. He's the only one who would swing to the music and raise his hands. You know, this is in Chinese church, you know. We all like singing national anthem, you know. But he will be swinging to the music, raising his hands. You know, by this time he was taking so many medicine to temper his bipolar and schizophrenia. He will often tell me, God spoke to him to do this or do that. I wasn't sure, is it really God speaking or his schizophrenia acting up? I don't know. But I listened. One day he told me that his grandmother wants to be baptized. I say, what? Because she told me, and I saw this with my eyes when I visited him, is that his grandmother is an idol worshiper. And in the past, when I went to his house, there was a big, huge Buddha statue right in the living room. As you walk in, you'll see it. Like he's a guest at the house or something. Now she wants to be baptized? She said, yeah. After I talked to her about Jesus, I say, you talked to her about Jesus? Yeah. So we baptized her. Oh, I did not baptize her. I think Pastor Chua baptized her. Not Pastor Chua. Yeah, Pastor Chua. Not long after that, the tree brought her mother to the church. She's a Christian, but had not gone to church for decades. Partly due to Tree's conditions, you know, there's always a blame game going on. No, she came with Tree to the church. You know, Tree is the most unlikely 40-year-old child. When I tell him to do something, he never argues or questions my counsel and just did it. He never had any suspicion that people were keeping a distance from him. He still say hi to everyone in the church. But I think I'm the only one that had some kind of conversation with him. I feel a sense of joy when he sings and wave his hand in the air. It gets me excited, making me a better preacher. I appreciate his childlike friendliness. I wish I had his innocence about people. Jesus said, kingdom of God belong to Tree. 7 years ago, Tree died. Found liver failure of all the medicine that he was taking. He taking these medicines since he was a teenager when his mental illness first appeared. It was not a big funeral. A few people who spoke about him confirmed my understanding of him. He is always joyful. Never a word of complaint or bitterness. He's always believing, never a doubt that Jesus loves him. Always honest about his mental illness. Never trying to hide it. Because that's part of who he is. I wasn't sad because when I go to heaven, I'll see him he'd come over and give me a big hug, like he always does when he comes to church, when he sees me. And I loved her. Heaven belongs to people like that. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you have so many testimony. People that you touch. Touch with your heart. Touch with your hands. And fill them with the love of Christ. And Lord, you work in these least of these people. Not spiritual giants, but least of these people. Just like you work in the children, least of them. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you let me see. Let me see what it takes to go to heaven. In Jesus' name.